I'm Gurave Namaha. Om Parama Gurave Namaha. Clean Nityanandaya Namaha. Clean Gauraya Namaha. Sring Kling Radha Krishna Bhyam Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Govijana Vallabhaya Swaha. Om Hring Bhuvaneshwaya Namaha. Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha. Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha. Patita Nang Pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Trinadapi Sunichena. Tarariva Sahishnuna. Amanina Manadena. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kivalam. Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think I can do without the... It's all right. My voice is loud enough. We don't need... It's okay. Everybody can hear me, right? Yeah. I don't need a microphone. God gave me a microphone right here. So, we passed the test. How many got scared? I did. Yes, I felt it too. But it was very good. You went immediately to hold the deities. So... Yes. So, I would like to speak to you about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins by telling Arjuna that millions and millions of years prior to the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna had spoken the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivasvan. And Krishna told Arjuna that since then, it has gradually come down to human society by what is called parampara, the chain of the disciple hearing from the guru, and then the disciple repeating what the guru has taught him. And this tradition has been going on for millions of years. But Krishna told Arjuna that by this time, 5,000 years ago, at the start of the Kurukshetra war, Krishna said, due to the erosion nature of time, the eroding nature of time, this parampara, or disciplic succession, had been broken. Meaning, somebody failed to deliver the message as it is. Somebody changed the message. If the message is repeated exactly as the guru says, you're good. But if somebody changes it, edits it, alters it, then it's broken. And we could do an experiment today. If I was to tell Ravi Maharaj something, and then he tells it to the next person, by the time it gets to Roshan, we'll have a completely different story. Rakesh, Roshan, twin brothers. That's human nature. So, Krishna then told Arjuna that I'm now going to speak Bhagavad Gita to you and restart this parampara, disciplic succession. And then Krishna told Arjuna why he was selecting Arjuna, and this is very significant. Bhakto si me sakha cheti. Can you all say that? Bhakto si me sakha cheti. Everybody. Krishna told Arjuna, you have two qualifications, making you the worthy recipient of this transcendental knowledge. First of all, you are my devotee. And number two, you're also my friend. Because it is a fact, Arjuna and Krishna are contemporaries, and they have a very strong friendship. And it works both ways. Arjuna is very close to Krishna, loves Krishna, and Krishna also loves Arjuna. Because love or any relationship cannot be one-sided. It has to go both ways. If there is a one-sided relationship where one party simply takes, that's not a good relationship. There has to be give and take. And the same is true with God. Why? Because God is a person. You're a person. You have feelings. You have desires. You have tastes. So does God. He's a person with tastes and feelings and emotions, and he responds to love, which is another thing we learn from Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Krishna, the only thing he cares about is your love. Nothing else. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, we see this word appears, bhakti. Bhakti is used. Bhakti means relating to God in a relationship of love. So that was Arjuna's qualification. He was Krishna's devotee or worshiper or follower, and he was Krishna's friend. Just like if you have a friend, you'll do something for your friend. There's another word in the Bhagavad Gita. Suhrit, because in Sanskrit there are different kinds of friend, bandhu, mitra, and then there is suhrit. That's the topmost friend. Suhrit means well-wisher. I'm sure you have many acquaintances, like Facebook friends, like I have like 1500 Facebook friends. That's one kind of friend. Hello, how are you? Let's see what you're doing. That's one level of friend. But there's another kind of friend, suhrit, your well-wisher. Somebody who's such a friend that they care about you and will do something, not necessarily for themselves, but because they actually care about you. Like parents with their children. Parents are the natural suhrit of their children. Wherever I go, when I'm speaking, I always tell the children, please, you must respect and obey your parents because they are your best well-wishing friend. And the children don't always appreciate that because the children are thinking, well, why is everybody telling me no, that I can't do this and I can't do that? Well, what the children don't know, which the parents do know, is that when they say no, they're saying no out of love and concern. Any parent who always says yes, 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 that's not a good parent. Because the child doesn't really know what's good for themselves. But the parent knows. So suhrit means somebody who has your interest at heart. So Krishna says in the Gita, I, Krishna, am your suhrit. I am your best well-wishing friend. How can Krishna say that? Very simple. Because right now, he's in your heart. Param Atma. And not only that, he's been with you all your births, thousands, perhaps millions of births. Krishna has been accompanying you. You may have a very good friend in this life, but do you know for certain your friend will be with you next time? Maybe, maybe not. But Krishna says, I have been with you all of your lifetimes, and I'm right there inside your heart, right next to you. So Krishna says, I am your well-wishing friend of everyone, because he's in your heart, your heart, your heart. Like that. So, after Krishna explained this to Arjuna, Arjuna comes up with this question. Arjuna uvacha aparang bhavato janma parang janma vivasvata kathametad vijaniyang famadau proktavaniti. I like to recite the Sanskrit because every year in December, I have to recite the entire Bhagavad Gita from start to finish in a sacrifice. We have a big fire pit and we recite the entire Bhagavad Gita. And after every shloka, swaha, and the grains are thrown in the fire. So I'm the one that leads the chanting. So I have to start practicing now. It's August, the end of August. By December, I have to be in full form reciting. But so I like to practice when I can. Arjuna said, the sun god, Vivaswan, is senior by birth to you, Krishna. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? In other words, Arjuna just heard Krishna said, I spoke this to the sun god. But as far as Arjuna knows, hey, you're living in the same time as I am. How can you have spoken this millions of years ago to the sun god? So what does Krishna say? Shri Bhagavan Ubhacha Bahuni Me Vyati Tani Janmani Tavacharjuna Tanyahang Veda Sarvani Nat Bhang Veta Parandhapa. Krishna said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. So this verse is very significant. First of all, this verse reiterates something that was explained in chapter 2, namely the transmigration of the soul, that this is not your first birth. You have taken birth many, many times in the past, just as you have changed clothes many times. Sometimes women change clothes 2-3 times in a day. Am I right, ladies? Sometimes. Men, they'll wear the same pair of jeans all day long. Ladies like to change. So as we change clothes, we change bodies. Later on, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, your body is a yantra, a machine, a car. Maybe you drove a certain car 10 years ago. You don't drive that car forever. You get a new car. And some people in America, they change cars every year. They're so rich. Got to have a new car every year. And you see them on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills with their new fancy car. So just as we change clothes, just as we change cars, we change bodies. Now, Krishna said in this verse, many, many births both you and I have passed. Krishna says, I remember all of them, but you don't. So that seems to indicate there's a difference between Krishna and Arjuna. So for now, that's what you have to keep in mind. Both Krishna and Arjuna have appeared many times together. Krishna says, I remember all my births. Arjuna does not. So now let's see why that is. That's a logical question. Why is that? This next verse answers it. Ajopi sannavyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadishthaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Now this verse is a little peculiar. He said in the previous verse, many, many births. Now listen what he says here. Although I am unborn. What? He just got finished saying he's had many births. Now Krishna's saying, I'm unborn. What? Krishna's not making any sense. He's had many births, but he's unborn. He's going to explain. And my transcendental body never deteriorates. This is another understanding of Bhagavad Gita. The first lesson that Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you're not your body. Right? That was the first lesson of transcendental knowledge taught in Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna says, my body is transcendental. This body, you know, is not transcendental. Look in the mirror every day. What's going on? Wrinkles, gray hairs. It's decaying. I know. It's a very sad thing. Life is cruel. We spend so much money and time trying to make ourselves look pretty, but time is so cruel. I'm going to take away that beautiful body. No, time is cruel, and it's taking away. But Krishna says, my body never deteriorates. In fact, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Krishna was 125 years old, more or less. But if you looked at him, he looked no more than 16, 20 years old. So his body doesn't deteriorate. Why? Because it's a spiritual, transcendental body. You could see it. Everybody on the battlefield of Kurukshetra saw Krishna. It's not that it was some kind of ghost. No, they actually saw the form of Krishna, and it looked like a human body. If you were to look, let's look at Krishna right now. He looks like a human being. He's got two hands, a face, two legs. He looks, that's the key word, looks. But here he's telling, my transcendental body never deteriorates. And unborn means he does not take birth like you and me. We take birth one body after another. Birth means take a new body. It is the soul that's transmigrating. Darwin says that the body is evolving. Well, Darwin's an idiot. Darwin doesn't know what he's talking about. Because in his previous life, Darwin was a monkey. And that's what he became in his next life. He returned to being a monkey. That's a joke for those who have gone to college. Nice to see you. Darwin said, the body is evolving. Bhagavad Gita says, the soul is evolving. The bodies are already there. The soul is going. Just like when you go to a department store. When you go to a department store, they have racks and racks and racks of clothes. Like in America, Nordstrom's, Macy's, and all these, right? They have racks and racks and clothes. And people spend hours. Let me try that on. I'll try that on. Till you find the right outfit. Maybe also in India, when you buy saris, you go to the nice sari shop, you want to see the nice selection, right? And then you pick the one you like. So the bodies are already there, 8,400,000 different types of bodies. And the soul is trying on one body after another, life after life after life. Just trying a different body. But Krishna says, no, I don't do that. I remain in my own original form, regardless of the so-called birth I take, it's still my original form. That is the difference between Krishna and Arjuna. And because Krishna doesn't change his actual form, he remembers everything. But because we change our form with death, all the memory, all the events, forgotten. Sometimes people say, why can't I remember my past? People use this argument as if to nullify reincarnation. They say, well, if reincarnation is true, then how come I can't remember what I was in my past life? There's a reason for that. It's called God's mercy. Because what if your previous life was very miserable? What if in your previous life you were raped? You want to remember that for the rest of your next life? You don't want that. God is merciful. Whatever happened in your previous life, slate is clean. Start fresh. Because everybody thinks, oh, in my previous life, I must have been some movie star. Or no. What if your previous life, you were Hitler? People don't think like that. Everybody has an idyllic idea. Oh, in my previous life, I was some great person. Probably not. So it is God's mercy that you don't remember your previous life, because there may have been some horrible incidents. I don't even want to remember incidents in this life. Some incidents. I wish I could forget them. They were so horrible. So, we change our bodies life after life, and therefore we don't remember. Krishna says, I don't change my body. My body takes on different forms because I'm God, and I can change from one form to another. I can multiply and clone myself. Wouldn't you love to do that? So, if you were Krishna, one of you could go to work on Monday. One of you could go to the south and go on vacation. Another one could stay home and take care of the kids, while Sakshi goes and does something. How great life could be, huh? All right. One will go to school. Okay, Alex Bent, you go to school. I want to stay home and play video games. But we're not Krishna. We can't do that. We wish we could, but we can't. But Krishna can do that. When Narada Muni went to see Krishna in Dwaraka, Krishna had only how many wives? 16,108. Only. He's God. Even if he has 16 trillion, so what? He's unlimited. 16,108 compared to unlimited. Drop in the bucket. Difference. So he only had 16,108 wives. And each wife had her own palace. And in each palace was a separate Krishna. Pretty cool, huh? And when Narada Muni went to visit Krishna, he first went to the palace of Rukmini's palace, Krishna's first queen. And Krishna was sitting on the bed and Rukmini was fanning him. So then Narada quickly left. He went to the next palace. Krishna was taking a bath. So he was doing two things, different things at the same time. Then he went to the third palace. Krishna was playing chess. Then he went to another palace. Krishna was eating. Then he quickly went to another palace. Krishna was riding horses. Another palace. He was making arrangements for the marriage of his children. Every palace that Narada went to, Krishna was doing something different. That's God. Like when you go to the electronics store, the TV screen is showing the same show. right? There are millions of TVs. If you tune into the same channel, they show the same show. But in this case, all the expansions of Krishna were independent, doing something different. That makes Krishna God, the Supreme. So Krishna says, I'm unborn. It looks like I'm taking birth. That's the key. It looks like, but actually, Krishna's not born. He's ever existing. And he doesn't have a material body, unfortunately, like we do. That's the problem. We have a material body. And you're going to get another one. Okay. He says, I am the Lord of all sentient beings. This is the meaning of God. God means that who is the source of everyone. We all have a common source, like in many religions. They have this conception, God the Father. That's a good conception, because actually, we come from God. That's true. He is the ultimate Father of all of us. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the seed-giving Father of all living entities. Krishna says, although I am the Lord of everyone, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So that took place just 5,000 years ago in India. There's even the actual birthplace, Janmasthan, in Mathura. Yes, only 5,000 years ago, Krishna actually appeared. And he will appear like clockwork in every millennium. And when he doesn't come himself, he sends one of his expansions or one of his representatives. God is continually coming to earth to help us. So let's see now, Krishna's on a roll here. He's got more to say. Here comes, every Hindu should know this verse. If you know this verse, say it with me. Every Hindu knows this. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutana madhas dharmasya tadatmanang srijam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So it's like a scale. If one going down, the other has to go up. So on one side you have religion, the other side has to be irreligion. When religion is going up, irreligion has to go down. And consequently, vice versa. When irreligion is on the rise, religion goes down. So 5,000 years ago, that is exactly what took place. There was a king, Kamsa, and he made an alliance with all the demons on the planet. Like years ago, America had some President Bush. So he had this phrase, Axis of Evil. As if to scare everybody. So that's exactly what Kamsa did. He made an alliance with all the other demons. And what were they doing? Building up the military-industrial complex. Weapons. Weapons for what? Destroying. Killing. So Mother Earth was feeling too much burden. That's why we had a little earthquake. Mother Earth was like, she's not happy. Too much burden. So she retaliates. So at this time, Kamsa and his alliance of evil kings, Mother Earth went to the Creator, Lord Brahma. She had tears in her eyes. She took the form of a cow, and she explained to Brahma her condition. But Brahma could understand, this is above my head. I have to take it to the higher boss. So where did he go? To the shore of the ocean of milk. Because in that ocean of milk is a white island. Think about that. A white island in an ocean of milk. Be pretty hard to find. White on white. So there on that Shweta Dweep is Lord Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So Lord Brahma and all the demigods, they offered a prayer, Purusha Sukta. Do you know that prayer? You know that prayer. See that? He's advanced. Purusha Sukta is a very advanced Brahminical prayer. Now in South India, they chant it a lot, right? Yes. In many of the temples. Very powerful prayer. So they... And oh, there's another one.
No, Purushukta is of Narayan and Sri Sukta is of Lakshmi. So we have to do both together.
Oh, very good. I'm glad you're sitting next to me. It makes the presentation more authoritative. Thank you. I just learned something. I didn't know about the Sri Sukta. Very nice. So, they offered the Purusha Sukta, but there was no text message from Krishna. So then Brahma sat in meditation, and then he got the message in his heart. And the message was, yes, I will come in my original form, not an expansion, not an incarnation. I will come in my original form as Krishna, and I will take care of the problem. So here it says, in the next verse, everyone, all Indians should know this next verse. Paritranaya sadunang vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Especially the second one. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Get those evil deers. Smash them. Kill them. Chop them up. So, Krishna says, why does he come? Well, first of all, he has to deliver the devotees, the pious, the good people. And he has to take care of the evildoers, the demons, the rascals. And depending on which political party you follow, the opposite party. So he has to take care of the miscreants. And especially re-establish the principles of religion. Therefore, Krishna says, I advent myself millennium after millennium. People sometimes ask, how many incarnations of God are there? The answer, count the number of waves in the ocean. That's how many incarnations. They're coming one after the other. After the other. Now, the next question people ask, Prabhuji, right now, if you read the headlines, the whole world is going crazy. People are fighting Israel, Palestine, Russia, Ukraine, Africa, America, the cops now in America, they're shooting people for stealing some cigars. Some black guy stole a box of cigars and they shot him. It's going crazy. It gets worse every day. Krishna says, whenever there's a discrepancy, I come. Why isn't Krishna coming? The answer, he has come. He has come in the form of the Hare Krishna mantra. Everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. He has come in the form of this temple. Radha and Krishna are right here. He has come. He has come in the form of preachers who deliver his message. And you can take advantage of the deity of chanting. You can have Krishna's presence and protection 24 hours. You ask Sanam and Sakshi, how do I sleep at night? Yes, all night long I'm hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. All night long. Did you hear when I stayed at your house? Yeah. Yes. So I'm not making, I have testimony. Yes, you can have the protection of God right there, anytime. Have you got a tongue? Have you got two ears? You can get protection. And guess what? How much does it cost to chant? Nothing. Absolutely free. The only problem is no willpower, no attraction. I'm busy with Maya. I'm busy watching television. Yeah, busy. Oh, yes. Money, money, money. Sweeter than honey. Hare Krishna. Yes. As you say, Maya. Too much Maya. Yes. So you have to, that's the balance. Again, the balance. If all you care about is money, then no chanting, no Krishna. So you have to let go and start to add and increase. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now, my final verse for this section is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna now says, Janma karma chame divyam. Krishna says, my birth, my activities are transcendental. They're divine. They're spiritual. Mevam yoveti tatvataha. And if you can understand my birth and activities in truth, if you can actually understand them as they are, chakva dehang punar janma. After giving up this body, because we all know this body we're going to have to give up at some point, naiti mam eti sorjuna. Krishna says, upon giving up this body, you won't come back to Santiago. You won't come back to India. You won't come back to United States of demons. But where will you go? You will go to where Krishna is. Yes, Krishna is not impersonal. He exists right now. And he has his transcendental abode. And he's inviting you, please come and join me and be with me. Play with me. Eat with me. Dance with me. Serve me. Love me. You can wrestle with him. You can do so many things with Krishna. I want to sing for him. I want to sing and dance. You may have other desires to be with Krishna. So here it says, if you simply can understand the nature, the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, then this is your last birth here on earth. How many are attracted to that concept of life? That's it? I must have failed in this lecture. I'm a failure. Every hand should be up. I failed. Well, at least you want to. Jai. So, where is my... What did I do? Yes. You gonna play? Play. You play.